Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, I'm Steph.
I'm Alex.
And this is Not Today.
And we're live.
Hey.
Hey.
It's the new year.
It's the new year, new story, new us.
We're brand spanking new.
I know.
How do you feel now that you're new?
I feel bonded.
Bonded?
For life.
With me?
Yeah.
Love that.
Does this come out after our marriage?
It does.
I don't know.
It does come out after our marriage.
Yeah. And now, what is the story? Most importantly, I wanted to know before, and you denied me until now.
It's true.
Now I need to know.
Before I tell you what the story is this week, I wanted to let everyone know that bonus episode number 47 will be coming out next week over on Patreon. So if you're interested in that and 46 other bonus episodes, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. You know the drill. It's great. You won't regret it. But today, we're going to be talking about the island of Cozumel in Mexico. Specifically, a man who gets lost in the jungle in Cozumel.
Okay.
So
there's a jungle.
There is a jungle.
With like pumas.
It looks like no, there are no pumas in Cozumel. Hmm. Although there are boa constrictors and feral dogs and crocodiles. And jaguars are iconic to the Yucatan area, but they are extremely rare on the island itself, making the island's unique dwarf carnivores and invasive species the primary terrestrial threats.
Dwarf carnivores.
According to Google, yes.
Interesting. Well, must not be a real jungle.
Well, it's a real jungle for sure. Anyway, let's get into it. Cozumel is a picturesque island and municipality in the Caribbean Sea off the eastern coast of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, opposite Playa del Carmen. Measuring approximately 40 kilometers or 30 miles in length and 16 kilometers or 10 miles in width, Cozumel is a mostly undeveloped island and is a popular cruise ship port of call famed for its scuba diving. There are diving spots all around the island, including an underwater museum of submerged sculptures, which sounds really cool. There's also an eco park surrounding a lagoon with underwater caverns, home to dolphins, manatees, and sea turtles. So the island is a popular cruise destination, attracting millions of tourists every year. However, 70% of the island remains untouched by human development, preserving its natural beauty and biodiversity. It is Mexico's largest Caribbean island, largest permanently inhabited island, and Mexico's third largest island. The population of Cozumel is 88,626, roughly, with the majority of the island's population living in the town of San Miguel, which has a population of roughly 85,000. The island has a hot and humid climate, with the average temperature of 80 degrees Fahrenheit or 27 degrees Celsius. But during the time that this story is taking place, which is in, I believe, July.
Woof.
The temperature is going to get up to like 100 or 104 degrees Fahrenheit.
And what we know about the jungle is that is a wet heat.
It is a wet heat.
As we're all aware.
Very humid.
This plays a role.
Yeah. Aside from rain runoff, the island doesn't have any surface lakes or freshwater rivers, but it does have 18 cenotes, or underground rivers and ponds. So it's also extremely difficult to find, I guess, fresh water in the jungle.
It's all underground?
Yeah, that's what cenotes are.
That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty cool, but I guess really bad for someone who's lost in the jungle and needs to find water.
Yeah.
To drink.
Not good.
No. So, in 1993, 32-year-old Ken Wilson was living in Missouri and had spent years working in construction, but decided to quit that job to follow his true passion, which was scuba diving. One day, he just so happened to cross paths with Doug and Kathy Gorgans, who were the owners and developers of West End Diving and Bone Terra Mine, which were both in Missouri. And Bone Terra Mine looks really cool. It's basically like an abandoned mine shaft that flooded and they dive in it, which is really cool.
Nuts.
Yeah, as well as the Maya Palms Resort in Mexico. So Ken began working for the couple at the West End Diving and eventually took a job at the Maya Palms Resort. I don't think he worked there full time, but he was taking a trip with Doug and Kathy to the Maya Palms Resort in Mexico, and they were doing dives out there with clients. And it seems like this was kind of like a work trip slash vacation for them. Kathy, Doug, and Ken also became really good friends outside of work. Kathy thought that Ken was just a gem. She really liked him. And Ken really enjoyed Kathy and Doug and his job. He was living his dream working as a professional scuba diver. He loved taking people out to dive with him. He said it was great because they sold fun. They were taking people to do something they loved every single day, and they were always dealing with happy people, which was the best. It was also one of the most peaceful things he said he could do. He said, quote, "You're totally weightless." Scuba diving was almost a form of meditation for him. On July 31st, 1993, Ken, Doug, and Kathy were on this 7-day diving trip slash vacation before returning to the U.S. They had spent their first 6 days scuba diving, but decided they would spend their last day exploring the famous Mayan ruins on the island. There were two other men joining Ken and Kathy. I don't actually think Doug was with them, but I believe these two other men were guests of the resort, but they were never actually named. So I don't know who they were to them, but this excursion they had planned to see the ruins should have only taken them a couple hours at most, but it would end up taking a very unexpected turn.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Their first 6 days of the trip had gone perfectly, and now on the 7th day, they decided they would see these ruins in the morning, work up a bit of an appetite, and then they would go to breakfast. The ancient Mayan ruins are all that remain of a lost civilization that lived on the island over 1,000 years ago, so Ken was really looking forward to seeing them. But it was an extremely hot and humid day. Kathy said it felt like they were walking around in a sauna. That and the mosquitoes were also really bad because they were headed straight into the jungle. The ruins they came across were collapsed and overgrown, which were a lot less magnificent than Ken had imagined the Mayan ruins to be. So he suggested they go a little further into the jungle to see what they could find. They didn't have a guide with them because they didn't think they'd be out there for very long, and they had a brochure, so they figured they didn't necessarily need one. But Ken was underwhelmed with what they had found and wanted to see more, so he wanted to keep going. Kathy told the three men that they should go ahead without her. It was way too hot for her to be traipsing around the jungle, so she would just wait there for them. And honestly, I'm with Kathy. She assured Ken that she would be fine there on her own. So they began working their way further into the jungle to see these ruins. But by the time it was around 11 a.m., the heat was really starting to build. And it wasn't long before the other two men that were with Ken had had enough of the oppressive heat themselves and told him that they also wanted to head back and meet up with Kathy.
Even 90 and humid is incredibly oppressive.
Yeah.
To be over 100? Unbearable.
Yeah, and it was just about over 100. It was like somewhere around 104 or something by the middle of the day. So pretty miserable, if you ask me.
Time to go home.
Yeah. So Ken told them not to worry about it. They could just head back with Kathy, but he was going to continue on because he wanted to see what else he could find. He told them he was going to walk on for another 15 minutes, but he would meet back up with them shortly, and then they could all go to breakfast. Looking back on it now, he said he definitely should have stayed with them, but that wasn't the choice he made in the moment. He had seen a picture of a specific ruin on the brochure that he had gotten in town, and he wanted to find it. The ruins are located in the center of the island, surrounded by thick jungle. And at that time, there weren't any signs or markers, and it was all very overgrown. But Ken was determined to find this ruin he had seen in the picture because that one looked really sweet. So after walking for some time, he realized he probably wasn't going to find it on his own, even though that was pretty disappointing. And it was also really hot, and Kathy was waiting for him, so he knew it was time to turn around and head back for the group. But backtracking wasn't as easy as he thought it would be. All the paths looked the same. He crossed a bunch of intersections that seemed to go in all directions, and as he walked, he got really confused which fork he should be taking. So he began to explore down one way, and then when that didn't look familiar to him, he would explore down another. And soon enough, Ken became hopelessly lost in the overgrown maze of trails. After half an hour went by, Kathy started to get worried, and then that turned into 45 minutes. And she knew this was really unlike Ken. And her intuition started kicking in. She knew something must be wrong, but at that point, she decided all they could do was wait for him and hope for the best. The sun was directly overhead, and Ken had no sense of direction as he walked. And he was starting to get very nervous. He had quite a bit of adrenaline pushing him forward as he panicked through the jungle, struggling to find anything he recognized. He began calling out for Kathy, hoping she could hear him, and then he could follow her voice, but by that point, he was too far away. After an hour went by, and that turned into an hour and a half, Kathy knew it was time to get some help. They decided they'd go back to the entrance, hoping maybe Ken had already made his way back there and he was waiting for them. As they began walking out, Kathy heard this really faint call, and she knew it was Ken. She stopped in her tracks and asked the other guys if they heard it, which they didn't, but she knew she had heard it. And then she heard it again, a very faint and distant call. And that time the guys heard it too. So Kathy began screaming back to Ken, hoping he could hear her voice. And he could hear her voice. And in his panic state, Ken made a near fatal mistake. As he heard Kathy's voice calling out to him, he was so desperate to get to her and out of the jungle that instead of following the trails to get closer to her voice, he decided to leave the trails and go straight through the jungle directly to where he heard the noise. He thought he was heading straight for Kathy, but instead, because the jungle was so dense, it had distorted her screams. So every step he took, he was actually getting further away from her, deeper into the jungle. And he didn't realize that until he couldn't hear Kathy's voice anymore, and he came into a different part of the jungle that he definitely didn't realize, and he was no longer on a trail, and he just heard silence. And then Kathy couldn't hear Ken's voice because he had gotten farther away from her.
Well, was she at least going in the right direction?
She was staying put. She wasn't moving. She was right where he was supposed to meet up with them.
Oh, no.
And after she stopped hearing his voice, she knew he was so lost. She didn't know what to do at that point because she couldn't go in after him, but she knew he was out there. So after she realized that Ken was no longer calling out to her, she left the jungle and approached some tour guides back at their hotel and asked if they could help locate her friend. When Ken stopped hearing Kathy's calls in response to his, he had a deep, sinking feeling. Ken only had 3 hours of sunlight left, and then he would have to face the jungle alone at night. So he pushed forward, driven by pure panic, although he had no idea where he was going. He was just focused on getting himself out of there, but pushing through the dense forest growth was draining his energy and strength. He was no longer on a trail, so pushing through the brush was extremely difficult. He said he couldn't walk in a straight line for more than 10 or 15 feet at a time, so he had no sense of direction. All he could focus on was hurrying up to get back, pushing his body harder and harder to get out of there. And honestly, because he couldn't walk in a straight line because the brush was so dense, there's a very, very good chance, and honestly, I feel like almost definitely, he was just walking in circles.
Totally. I mean, unless you're, if you're in the brush, the only way I feel like you go consistently in a straight line is if you're like moving in reference to like the sun.
Right.
You know?
Or like a stream or something.
Right.
And he couldn't really see the sun. Like he could, I guess. Like I guess toward the end of the day, he could probably tell like where east or west was based on where the sun was setting. But like the canopy of trees was really, really thick. He couldn't really see the sky because this is like the jungle we're talking about.
Really?
Like it's, yeah, like you can't see up. Like it's pretty covered. So it was hard for him to tell any sense of direction. So he's just walking kind of in circles in the jungle, which is not great. And he's just a guy from Missouri. Like he doesn't know anything about the jungle. Like think about it. I mean, he's just a guy with a brochure who went out there to like see a ruin.
He just wanted to see the ruins.
Yeah, he just wanted to go see the ruins. He had a brochure. He's like, I'm going to go see a ruin and then go to breakfast. Didn't have anything with him, really. And then...
It's tough.
And then he's lost in the jungle? Like, that's really bad.
Yeah, like, no, not good.
Just some random dude plopped in the middle of the jungle.
How old is he?
He was like early 30s.
Okay. I guess like, at least he's not frail, you know?
No, sure. Yeah, he's fine in that regard, I guess. But still, this is not easy for any person.
Mm-hmm.
And as he went, he was tearing up his ankles and legs on low-hanging vines or, you know, just general thick brush in the jungle, or he'd trip and fall. And by that time, it was around 4 p.m. In just 2 hours, the jungle would be pitch black. Ken had been going for a while at that point, so he was starting to slow down a bit. He had no idea how much ground he had covered, but he was definitely getting tired. As it got darker and darker, he continued to push himself, terrified of being left out there at night. But unable to see as well, he fell into a hole. Not a huge one. His leg just got trapped for a moment, and that really hurt, but it also scared him. Because first of all, he had gotten a really nasty gash down the front of his leg because of it, but second of all, he realized that in that moment, he had almost broken his leg. And if he had, he wouldn't be able to walk out of there, which is his only lifeline at this point. He had to be careful going forward, or he really could die out there. So he decided that that was enough for one day. It was time to make camp for the night. Thankfully, he did have, I believe, 2 matches with him, so he was able to light a fire, which was the only thing that was standing between him and any unseen predators. It was a really eerie feeling sitting there in the dark because Ken felt like he was in a fishbowl. It was so dark, but the jungle was alive around him. And although he couldn't see anything, he knew whatever was out there could see him. And he could hear some kind of animal in the distance and the occasional leaf rustle or stick break nearby. He was dealing with a lot of paranoia, so there was definitely not going to be any sleeping in that situation. As he sat there looking at the fire, he thought about Kathy. He knew she had to be worried sick about him and was at the forefront of the search for him. And he was right about that. But since it was dark, there was nothing anyone could do but wait. Kathy was very upset because there would be no searching that night. They couldn't search in the dark, so all she could do was sit on the edge of her bed, fully clothed, hoping that Ken would find his way out. When the sun did finally come up, Ken was exhausted. He had made it through the night out there, but had not slept at all, and his body was worn down from the exertion he had put himself through the previous day. Before he had even gone into the jungle with Kathy and the other guys, their plan was to see the ruins and then afterward get some breakfast. So, before he even stepped foot in there, he was already hungry. So by that point, on day 2, he was already starving and desperately needed something to drink. He had sweat so much. As he had frantically run around the jungle, he was already risking dehydration. He did have a few supplies with him, but nothing substantial. He had a video camera bag, like I said, around 2 matches, some cigarettes, and a small pocket knife. But he didn't have any food, he didn't have any water, and that's all he had. But his first priority was still just getting himself out of the jungle. He was even still thinking he might be able to get himself on his flight back to America, which was scheduled to leave in only 6 hours. As soon as the sun came up, he felt like he would be on the plane home that day, and he even daydreamed about Kathy having all his bags packed and he would just meet her at the airport and run to catch his plane as if this had all been some big silly mistake. Ken still didn't know which direction to run in, but with as far as he had walked, he figured he must be coming out to a road soon. The jungle had to end eventually. Racing through the jungle for a second day was even more difficult because he was already dehydrated, and this time as he went, he would be stopped dead in his tracks by crippling muscle cramps in his legs from dehydration. I mean, think about how much he's sweating.
Profusely.
Yeah, and not taking in any water.
For 2 days?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is probably pretty close to death, honestly.
Right.
Not good.
So by that point in the day, it was sinking in for Ken that he wasn't getting out of the jungle anytime soon, and he definitely wasn't going to make it to his flight. He even heard the distant sounds of a commercial plane in the sky, and he knew that he'd probably hear the plane he was supposed to be on soon. Like, he heard a plane and thought to himself, that probably is my plane, which really sucks.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to be on that plane, and you're just...
watching it.
In the jungle, lost. Yeah. As far as he knew, Kathy and Doug were on that plane, and he hoped that he would just be out of there soon. He didn't know what to think, but he had to keep some hope. But also, it would be kind of messed up if Kathy and Doug were on that plane. They're like, all right, see you, Ken. Good luck.
Yeah, he's fine. He's a jungle man.
Classic Ken.
Oh, he probably did end up finding those Mayan ruins, huh?
He had no choice but to keep moving forward and try to find a way out. But as the day went on, the heat only got worse. It still felt like he was walking around in a sauna, and he hadn't had any water since the day before. The temperature in the jungle could get up to 104 degrees Fahrenheit or 40 degrees Celsius, which is miserable. He was losing as much as 10 liters of fluid a day.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
He was so thirsty, his mouth was like a cotton ball. If he didn't find water soon, his kidneys, liver, and brain would begin to shut down. Any water he came across, he attempted to drink. He didn't care if it was dirty or not. It didn't matter if it was a puddle on the jungle floor. He was definitely risking drinking deadly bacteria into his system, but at that point, he didn't care. But then he heard something, and it sounded almost like a highway. It was this droning sound. And as he got closer to the sound, hoping that it was the sound of cars whizzing by, he realized that it was actually the drone of a massive beehive, with bees just like whizzing around it.
The free honey?
Nope. I don't know about you, but I am not going up to a massive beehive with angry bees.
Start a fire, smoke them out.
I'm good. They can keep the honey.
These bees don't want the smoke.
Okay. Once again, the sounds of the jungle had tricked him, which brought Ken into his second night in the jungle. Using his last match, he decided he would build as big of a fire as he could, in hopes that the flames or smoke would be spotted from the air. He managed to build a roaring fire, so big the sparks were going 50 to 80 feet up in the air, which gave him some real hope that someone would be able to spot him. He felt great as he watched this fire burn. It was like he had cracked the code. But as the night wore on and nobody showed up, Ken started losing faith. He thought that somebody would have spotted the smoke or the fire and would have come for him that night, but nobody ever did. In reality, Ken's fire was just a blip in the massive jungle. With over 250 square miles or 640 square kilometers of dense jungle, the chance of anyone spotting his signal, especially from under the canopy, was very slim. And nobody had spotted it. And at night, nobody was probably even looking for it. For the first time, Ken began to really fear that he may actually die out there. When the sun came up on day 3, Ken continued walking, but his hunger had begun to take over. He could feel that his stomach was truly empty, so he needed to find something to eat. He didn't care where the food came from, he just needed to put something in his stomach. Again, he didn't know anything about the jungle. He didn't know what was edible or what would do harm to him, but he found this gourd that was about the size of a cantaloupe that was growing in a tree, and he bit into it. He said it tasted the way that lighter fluid smells, so he figured it must be toxic.
Yep, it's probably safe.
Sounds awful. Oh my god,
lighter fluid.
Yeah. Possibly even worse at the time was he was constantly getting bitten by these massive flies that were so big that they would take a hunk of skin out of you when they bit you.
Ooh.
And then it would swell. Meanwhile, Kathy and Doug were spending thousands of dollars to launch the rescue mission to keep it going. Kathy was terrified of losing Ken. He was her best friend, and she did not want to face the reality of him potentially dying out there. Ken decided his best bet would be to climb a tree to try to break through the canopy of trees to get a better view of the area. But when he got as high as he could, all he could see was jungle in any direction he looked. And as he was up in the tree, he took out his small pocket knife, basically the only tool he had, to cut a thick branch in his way so he could get an even better view. But as he tried to cut it, he dropped the knife. He could not afford to lose this tool. That thing could be the only difference between life and death out there, but he had climbed pretty high up in this tree and dropped it all the way down. But as he climbed down, which was about 30 to 40 feet, he realized his route was blocked by what he said was a large python. Although there are actually no pythons on the island, but there are large boa constrictors. And these boa constrictors are not native to the island, but they are now a problem, I guess, on the island because they were brought to Cozumel to shoot a movie there. And then I guess the people who were in charge of the boa constrictors for this movie set didn't take them back with them. They just let them go in the jungle. And now there are boa constrictors in the jungle in Cozumel.
Idiots.
Yep. So now there's boa constrictors there. And he saw one. So he came face to face with one and stopped for a moment, waiting to see where it would go, hoping it wouldn't choose to continue forward and wrap itself around him like he was a little mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, the snake decided to leave him alone and go in another direction, but it was still in the area as Ken got to the ground and began searching around in the brush for his knife. He had no idea where it was at this point, and as he searched through the leaves on the ground, he heard another noise. There was clearly something else with him there. He could hear sticks breaking around him, and it seemed like whatever it was heavy. The sound kept getting louder and louder as it got closer, and Ken stood there and listened, when suddenly he saw a wild pig, or a peccary, I believe is what it's called, rush past him. Thankfully, it didn't harm him, but it definitely freaked him out.
How big are those things?
Generally ranging from 2.5 to 4.5 feet long, standing about 1.5 to 3 feet tall, and weighing from 30 to 100 pounds.
It's like a pretty serious dog.
It's like a pig, you know?
It's like a pig.
It's like the pig kind of pig, you know?
Yeah. Pigs can be mean when they're wild, right?
Oh my God, yeah. Some wild pigs are really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
But I don't think that this one caused any issue, because that was the last I heard of the pig. I think it just ran past him.
Yeah, me when I'm in the jungle. A pig.
Me? A pig in the jungle?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I mean, that's how he must feel. Just like sweaty and probably like beet red from the heat.
I bet he wishes he was a pig in the jungle eating
pig things.
Pig things. He has nothing to eat.
Well, I mean, they're getting water from somewhere. Follow the pig.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We forget
about the pigs in the jungle. All right, let's keep going. After 80 hours in the jungle, Ken realized maybe he should just stay where he was. Instead of trying to find his way out of the jungle, he's like, what if I just stayed here? He remembered hearing the best thing to do when you get lost is to just stay put and someone will find you. So he's like, let me just try this one out. Almost immediately, it seemed like his prayers were answered because he heard a helicopter. So he decided he would climb up a tree and use his bright red shirt to try to flag it down. So he tied it to a branch to like wave it. And it definitely was searching the jungle. And it got so close, he could even see a woman inside the helicopter with white tennis shoes. And he could even see the laces on her shoes. She was wearing gold-rimmed sunglasses and had blonde hair. And he could see every detail of her. If he would have had a rock in his hand, he could have hit the helicopter. That's how close it was.
find that rock.
Yeah, but despite it being so close, they weren't looking right below them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This woman wasn't Kathy. It was just some other woman, and she was talking to someone directly next to her and was looking away from Ken. And then after a minute or so, they just flew away. But they were like right above him.
That's so disheartening.
I know. Yeah, they never saw Ken waving his shirt frantically right below them. His bright red shirt. He couldn't believe that had just happened. It was devastating. And by the next day, day five, Ken decided it would be best if he stopped trying to walk out of the jungle. He should sit tight and wait for another helicopter. Clearly there was a search going on for him, but sitting still in the jungle was possibly just as bad as walking through it. It made him very easy prey for bugs and creepy crawlies. He would cover himself with about 60 to 70 leaves as a blanket to try to keep mosquitoes away, which only worked for about 5 minutes. After that, the mosquitoes would find him once again, and that drove him crazy. He would jump up and have to swing the leaves around wildly to try to get them away from him, and then he would cover himself up again, and then repeat the process every 5 to 10 minutes all night long.
Nightmare.
It was the only way he could keep the insects from eating him alive. Over the next few days, Ken remained in a clearing he found, desperately searching for food and water and hoping that the search party would find him. He found these plants that were growing in tree limbs that were holding their own water, and he managed to find small snails and frogs, which I think was how he knew where the water was.
Smart. I was going to say he has to be getting some kind of water. He's 5 days in.
Yeah, so he was scavenging for water by like lapping it up on like leaves. I guess the water had collected on leaves and things, so he was doing it that way. And when he wasn't scavenging for water, he was just sitting and thinking about water. He was just daydreaming about snow cones and popsicles. He said he would easily pay $800 for a snow cone in that state. Every day that passed, the distant sound of search planes both gave him hope and tormented him. At least they were still looking, but he had no way to reach them. The tree cover was so dense, there was no way for a plane to spot him from where he was on the ground. And to make matters worse, he couldn't find nearly as much water as his body needed to sustain him for much longer, and he was starving. He hadn't eaten more than a mouthful of fruit in 8 days. His body had begun eating itself. He was dropping weight very quickly, and he could feel himself losing grip with reality. It felt like the jungle was winning. He became worried if he didn't do something, he'd either lose his mind out there or he'd be missing long enough that they would just give up the search efforts. So he decided that he had to start walking again. The sounds of helicopters had become less frequent, and he felt like it was up to him to get himself out of there. He felt like he had wasted 4 days sitting, and now he had to get up and walk. He hoped as he went that he would hit a path or a road, but still he had to fight his way through the winding jungle. He began to develop a routine. As soon as the sun came up, he would begin to walk. But as soon as the hottest part of the day hit, he would have to sit in the shade for about 3 to 4 hours to conserve moisture in his body before he would keep moving again for a short time before it got dark. He had to stay focused on that routine because he couldn't let negative thoughts creep into his mind. If he let himself believe he was going to die out there, he wouldn't have been able to keep pushing himself forward. He was already beyond exhausted. He had to keep up hope because that was truly all he had at that point. He also never slept for more than around 15 minutes at a time if he could help it, because he knew there was a big threat of wild animals. I can't even imagine how tired and depleted he must have been at that point.
I mean, is he sleeping at all?
He had like 15-minute cat naps at a time. And he had no matches left, but he had come up with a smart alternative to try to make a fire to keep bugs away. He had a video camera with him, and he took out the battery and bit it open and pulled out some wires and then shorted the negative and positive wires to start a fire. And he got a few sparks, but unfortunately there wasn't enough juice in it to work well enough, so it actually didn't work. And his last hope was his shoelaces. So he took the laces out of his sneaker and then tied it around 2 sticks and got a big log and used all 3 to attempt to make a friction fire. And that went on for around 3 hours. He just sat hunched over this log, like trying to make a friction fire. He would get his little clump of leaves or twigs or whatever he was trying to light just hot enough to smoke, but everything there was so wet that it just never caught, and the fire never started. So by the end of his many hours attempting to make a fire, he was so frustrated, and his back was in excruciating pain from being hunched over this log, and he had been eaten alive by bugs in the process, which was exactly what he was trying to avoid, and he still had no fire. So it was just probably one of the worst days out there. Everything he had tried up until that point had failed. He was slowly but surely losing his mind. At that point, it had been about 13 days in the jungle. All he had to sustain him up until that point were a few rancid fruits and whatever drops of water he could salvage from plants. Ken was still moving forward, but he knew he needed to find more water. That was his number one priority at that time. He was so desperate, he started drinking whatever dirty, stagnant water he came across. He dipped his camera bag into the water to try to use it as whatever kind of filter it could, and he didn't know how much it would do, but he figured having the water drip through the camera bag would do something, which was better than nothing. And so as he held his camera bag up to let the dirty water drip into his mouth, his eyes fell onto a small lizard on a branch in front of him. He immediately dropped his bag and snatched the lizard into his hand. This little lizard was about 4 inches long, and he figured he could probably swallow it whole, although that would be extremely unpleasant. He tried to swallow it, but it got stuck in his throat because it was still alive and was
fighting back.
Yeah. So he ended up killing the lizard and choked it down as best as he could.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
Throughout Ken's journey through the jungle, he had acquired quite a few cuts and bites on his legs. And at that point, about 2 weeks into him being missing, he was starting to get really worried that his wounds were going to get infected. He saw that some of the cuts on the tops of his legs were scabbed over, so he took the scabs off and used those sort of as band-aids for the cuts around his ankles that weren't healing.
Yeesh.
Which is a little gross, but when I heard that, my reaction was just like, that's kind of smart.
Like, mm-hmm. I mean, well, what else are you going to do?
He had some scabs. It's like, you might as well use them.
Yeah. God.
Yep. His desperation had begun to push his mind to places he had never gone before. He began coming up with these elaborate scenarios in his head about what was going to happen when he walked out of the jungle. He dreamed about hailing a taxi, buying clothes, and getting into the hotel. Ken's mind had really begun unraveling, and he was starting to hallucinate. All of a sudden, Ken heard another helicopter overhead, and suddenly it was right above him, and he could hear a loudspeaker. Someone in the helicopter was talking directly to him. They were saying, "Look, there he is! Mr. Wilson, you're truly an amazing man, but we regret to inform your mother she may not see you again." And he started realizing that that didn't seem right. Then he heard the national anthem from the U.S. playing, and all of a sudden, it was just gone. As soon as it was there, it was gone.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It was all just in his head.
That's a pretty vivid hallucination.
Yeah, but it seems like most of his hallucinations were like very vivid.
I can't even, I can't imagine what this would feel like.
It's got to be really freaky.
To go through it and be like, oh, it was all fake.
Mm-hmm. He also began hallucinating that he was sitting in a soaking tub and was waiting on room service, and he was drifting off into a dream world. He had to fight to stay alive at this point. And this was day 15. He wasn't always in this hallucination state. He would go in and out of it. But when he was back in reality, the only thing he could focus on was getting himself water. At that point, he wasn't really worried about being rescued. Instead, he spent his time catching the flies that would bite him and feeding them to the ants on the ground. He had become so stressed by not being able to properly feed himself or quench his thirst, he said he was able to relieve some of that stress by watching ants eat the flies that bit him as a kind of revenge.
Can't he eat the flies?
I don't think he wanted to do that.
Well, dyers can't be choosers? I don't know. Like, what's happening? Survivors can't be choosers?
He would have rather watched them suffer than eat them.
I guess that's fair.
He hated them that bad.
I would have eaten them.
Yeah. Ken realized he had begun seeing vultures in the sky at some point, and as the days went on, he'd see more and more. By that point, there were around 5 or 6 that were circling him, just waiting for him to die. He knew what they were doing and hoped that maybe he could use them to signal someone, so he would intentionally lay down and twitch as if he were dying to try to get the vultures' attention and get them excited. So hopefully, if someone was searching by air, they would see these vultures and know he was there. Which definitely was a long shot and was kind of something that he thought up in his, like, half hallucination, half I don't even know what mind. But it was the only thing that he had at that point.
15 days in, I don't think they're looking for you anymore, dude.
They were, actually.
They were?
Yeah.
It's a long search.
It was a very long search, but it was funded by Kathy and Doug. They spent thousands of dollars.
Well, I'm pretty sure Ken will pay them back.
Yeah. Or not. I mean, maybe they're filthy, stinking rich.
If they are, great.
Yeah.
Get them out.
The vulture thing definitely didn't work for him. They didn't signal anyone. And was just another disappointment for Ken. That was when he realized he was really going to die there. Entire days passed without Ken doing anything. He was matted with dirt. He had no shoelaces. And his clothes were nothing but scraps. It had been 18 days, and he was really only alive because of the occasional mouthful of stagnant water he came across. He was both physically and mentally broken. He started to believe maybe he was already dead and he just didn't know it. Maybe his spirit was doomed to roam the jungle for all of eternity. He really didn't know. He didn't think he would ever get out of there. By day 19, Ken laid down and dozed off, but when he woke up, he said he saw a woman standing in front of him holding a baby. Ken said, quote, "Some people say that whenever people are lost, sometimes they'll see the Virgin Mary." He believed there was some divine intervention happening. And this vision gave him such an adrenaline rush and confidence that he would walk out of there, that he stood up and decided he wasn't going to lay down and die, he was going to keep walking until he died. And if he couldn't walk anymore, then he was going to crawl until he died. But either way, he was going to get himself out of the jungle. He was very weak, and at some point he did end up back on the ground and was crawling, but he continued crawling forward, but at some point he came across an empty plastic water bottle. It was the first sign of civilization he had seen in 19 days. As he kept going, he found even more empty plastic bottles. And at first, he thought that maybe he was hallucinating again, but he felt them, and they were real.
Ready? Here's what you do. You get the bottles, right? You find leaves that are green. Shove it in the bottle, close it up, let it evaporate water.
Oh.
Boom, drink water.
Okay.
Clean water.
Very
Pro
cool.
Pro tip from one of the shows.
That you watch?
It was a long time ago. I think it was a Survivor Man or some show like that.
Oh, the fake one?
No, it was, they had this one where there was two guys who, I think it was called Dual Survival.
Ah.
Did you ever see it?
No.
It's like one guy was like a former Army Ranger or something, trained by the military, and the other guy was like a hippie who taught like survival in Arizona.
Mm.
One of them said it, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
There you go.
One of them said it, he's pretty sure.
Worth a shot if you're about to die.
That's true. Thankfully, Ken wouldn't have to do that because After finding his many empty plastic water bottles, he realized he knew where he was, and he walked out of the jungle, right onto the beach. He was at the north end of the island, at the beach on Cozumel Island. He found the beach. He was on the beach.
Like on a resort?
Yeah. He was on the beach with other people. There were other people at the beach.
Whoa.
I mean, this is a very touristy island.
That's insane. Could you imagine? This is your vacation. You see this dude walk out of the jungle.
Yeah. Emaciated, like, and caked in dirt, like, and covered in bruises and cuts.
It's. Could you imagine? Do you want this skinny margarita?
Well,
it's skinny.
I do love a skinny margarita.
Well, give him something.
When he was found and picked up, he was driven back to Kathy. And after 20 days in the jungle, she definitely doubted that they'd ever find him alive, but there he was. She said his hair was so packed with mud, it was spiked in all directions. He had massive cuts on his legs, and it looked like the jungle had chewed him up and spit him out. But she was so happy to see him. They had a very tear-filled reunion, and they didn't let go of each other for about 10 straight minutes. She was so thankful he was alive. By the time he was found, Ken had lost 50 pounds and was covered in mosquito and crab bites from the jungle.
Crab bites?
Yeah, I guess they were just crabs biting him in the jungle.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Could have eaten those dudes.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I'm wondering. Where were these crabs, and why were they not on the menu?
I don't know.
But also, he couldn't start a fire, so I guess at that point, it doesn't matter.
The crab.
Eat the damn crab. Get a rock and eat the crab.
Yeah.
He later explained the majority of the search efforts were led by an organization called the National Emergency Commission, funded by local Mayan ranchers. The local ranchers and landowners went out every day, braving the jungle with buckets of water, trying to track Ken down, which was nearly impossible. So there were a couple different organizations looking for him. I think there was one through the government or something. There was these ranchers, and then there was one funded by Kathy and Doug.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a big search happening for him, which is crazy because no one even found him. Like, he just walked out.
Well, the jungle has to be one of the most difficult terrains to do a search in.
Absolutely.
Because you have to come face to face with them almost.
Right.
To find anyone.
Yeah.
Or, like, you need to have, like, a really big, like, white smoke fire that you can go to. I mean, other than that, like, even if he was right under a helicopter, they still didn't see him.
It's true.
It's like, you got to get above the canopy, you got to have something bright.
I know.
And even then.
Yeah, he should have made that big fire in the daytime, because he made that big fire at night.
Right.
When nobody was looking.
Right. Yeah, I think the other thing is, it depends on what you burn, right? Because some smoke is, like, not as
thick
or colored. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of needs to be, like, that white smoke from burning, like, green shit stuff.
I certainly wouldn't know what would produce white smoke versus black smoke versus whatever. But, yeah.
People got to see it. That's my point.
Well, sure. I think if he made a fire big enough, like the size he said he made in the daytime, and there was a helicopter or a plane, whatever, they probably would have seen it, but it was at night, and they're not flying at night.
Yeah.
So that's tough. But he made it out. He did it. He did the damn thing.
I cannot. 19 days?
Yeah. Like 20 days.
19 days.
Yeah. 19, 20 days.
That's so long, dude. That's almost a month.
And he's just a guy from Missouri.
Missouri proud, I guess, you know?
I guess.
Hey, made it through the jungle. I mean, he got eaten up, dude. I can't even imagine, like, all the bugs. I mean, the furious, just, like, killing them and watching them get eaten. I totally get it. Like,
yeah.
After 5 minutes, I would be in a murderous rage.
Oh, my God,
at the flies. I can't imagine living with them for 19 days.
No.
Truly insane. Yeah, and then, I mean, he probably just got enough. He swallowed a lizard. You know, just enough, like, food and water to keep him going for that long.
Yeah, the lizard part, that had to be unpleasant. Because it's not like he cooked it or anything.
Did he ever find his knife?
No.
It's a tough gig.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's also, like, he got really lucky as far as parasites go. Because he was just drinking, like, stagnant water. And also, I'm pretty sure if you eat a lizard like that, like, uncooked, like, they can have parasites, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was pretty dangerous, too. I mean, he had to risk it. Like, he had no choice, but yeah.
For 2 weeks of dangerous water drinking, it's not a bad track record.
Yeah. Yeah, for as unlucky as he was, he got pretty lucky in that department, at least.
Mm-hmm.
His recovery took 6 months, and he eventually did return to scuba diving because, as I said in the beginning, it was like a meditation to him. So it really helped him cope with this traumatic event. And he later became the general manager of the resort in Mexico. I don't know if it was Doug and Kathy's resort or what, but he ended up working in Mexico and scuba diving as a professional scuba diver there.
Sounds like a dream.
Yeah. And this experience changed the way he views life. He said within 10 seconds, any of us can be gone. So he decided he should be more kind to other people, more generous with what he has, and he's happy. And that's Ken Wilson's story.
Yeah. I mean, I love that message. There's nothing quite like a near-death experience to make you realize it.
Yeah. to put things into perspective. Sure.
Yeah. It is truly amazing the length of time that he survived. Like, I'm still kind of floored. Like, as you started the story, I'm like, oh, he's in and out in like 6 days max, right?
Yeah.
And 2 weeks after that, about, he walks his way out onto a resort.
Yeah, just onto a beach with people on it. Oh my God. Like having a nice day, like a vacation day. Pretty ridiculous.
I know. The other thing that's crazy is like the hallucinations, but like specifically felt like the Virgin Mary came to him. It is crazy, like, to think about where that comes from within your subconscious psyche.
Sure.
Or if it was actually like a spiritual experience.
Yeah, who knows?
You can never be sure, but
right.
It kind of helped him push through.
It definitely did. It was the thing that got him up and was like, I'm either going to walk out of here or I'm going to die trying.
Yeah, and it's not the first time we've heard something like this in a survival story.
Oh, totally. So, yeah, people have moments like this all the time, like as far as near-death experiences go.
Yeah. No, like it seems like it's in most people. You just have to be close to death.
Yeah,
to
right?
experience it.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with like one specific religion. It's just an interesting phenomena. But yeah, it's cool. And his helicopter hallucination was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if I got to talk to him, like, how vivid that was. Because, like, the megaphone being, like, saying something about his mom. I forget what it was.
Unfortunately, we have to tell your mother that you won't make it out of here or something. And then the national anthem starts playing. Very strange.
It's so random.
I know. Yeah. I mean, you can't control it. It's just a hallucination.
It's just gone.
Yeah, and then as soon as it happened, it's gone. So strange.
Maybe it was the lizard.
That was pre-lizard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
lizard
didn't help.
I think that was pre-lizard. Maybe it was post. Maybe he had a parasite.
Possible. I mean, did you get it? It took him 6 months to recover. Like, did you know what his injuries or rap sheet was?
I couldn't find like the details about his recovery. I just saw the length of it. So he definitely had some stuff that he had to deal with. But
I mean, he lost 50 pounds.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, whatever size that he was before, that's like almost, that's probably close to a quarter of his body weight.
Yeah. He was just like an average dude, it looked
like. It's a lot. Well, we wish him well. We're glad he got out. I mean, it's truly a testament to the human spirit that
totally.
He made it 19 days in the jungle.
Absolutely.
And if we find ourselves in the jungle on a trail, we're not leaving.
No.
We're not leaving.
No. Yeah, I'm one to stick to the path, personally.
We've told too much stuff.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That and also, as I've said in episodes past, I don't like when nature touches me. I don't mind touching nature on my own terms, but as soon as the trail encroaches on me and I don't have say on whether or not it touches me, I don't like it.
Yep.
I need my personal space with nature.
We will not be allowing nature to touch us at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, nature.
We will not take questions.
We respect you, but we will not be taking questions at this time. But that's all I think I really have to say about that. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No, I do not.
Gorgeous. Okay, well, what's your good thing?
I went to the farmer's market, and I like it.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
I like the local produce, and it's fun to see what's still there, because somehow these people are still growing tomatoes in Michigan in December.
It's true.
I don't know how.
Greenhouse?
Obviously a greenhouse,
right.
But even so, it has been like 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Like
it was really cold.
Negative 10 for the Celsius people.
Right.
Like negative 7 something 10.
I don't know.
For the Celsius people.
It doesn't matter.
It's been cold. Too cold for tomatoes. And I like to walk through and see them.
I'm happy for you. That's your good thing?
And that's it. We got pierogies. That's my good thing. I like the farmer's market. What is your good thing?
Very cool. My good thing is that now that the holidays and the festivities and the nuptials are over, we can go back to being normal people.
No planning. Lack of planning.
Oh, my God.
That's a good thing.
I cannot wait to just be a normal person.
You know, and I kind of, you know, this might be out there, do think that the wedding planning cycle has been as annoying, if not more, than the flies that were attacking Ken.
Okay.
For a week.
Let's not get crazy.
And I think that we should acknowledge that.
All right. I'm very, very grateful. It was a lovely time. This is being pre-recorded, so the wedding has not happened yet. Spoiler, sorry. Or
what do you mean, spoiler?
Yeah, not spoiler. Kind of a secret. I don't know.
Secret. Here, now you know.
But I'm assuming that all went well and everything's great. But even still, yeah, I'm excited to just like think about doing normal things. Like, I don't know, I want to paint our bathroom. I have other goals that I want to achieve for this coming year. And I'm excited to put my energy into that. So yeah, I think that's my good thing, is that onward and upward.
Amen.
The world is my oyster.
That's a good thing.
But anyway, thank you all so much for listening and sticking around. If you would like to check out bonus episode number 47, head over to patreon.com/nottodaypodcast. It is not out this week, but it will be out next week. If you or anyone you know has a story of survival or something crazy that's happened to you and you'd like to share it with us and possibly hear it on an upcoming listeners episode, send it to notodaypodcast@gmail.com. We post pictures of all the stories we talk about over on Instagram @nottoday_podcast. We have a TikTok that is Not Today Podcast and a Twitter that is Not Today Podcast, but the T on the end of podcast is a 3.
Because that makes sense.
And just keep breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.